Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So many of you might have recognized the fourth commandment as it's found in the book of Exodus. But we actually hear two different versions of the same commandment from the Old Testament. The other one comes from Deuteronomy, which still gives the same basic message, but with a little twist at the end. Because in Deuteronomy it says the following. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." I mean, most of us, I would say, would know that the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath. I think our question is often like, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to observe Sabbath? To keep the Sabbath day? Well, from Jesus' point of view, as we see from this morning's gospel and in other situations that we see with Jesus throughout the gospels, it appears that the devout Jews of his day had missed the point completely. And I would say Jesus, if he was speaking to us today, probably has similar criticisms for us as well. And just as they did all those centuries ago, we too, don't we? We attempt to self-justify our actions. You know, instead of trying to figure out, well, what is it that God actually wants from us? We kind of try to rationalize and justify, well, this is why I do this. Why not seek what God desires and then alter our lives to align with that? To align with how God determines how we should be living. I find it slightly humorous that the synagogue leader kind of attempts to shame Jesus after he heals this woman. You know, you like it. He doesn't take Jesus aside. He kind of says it to the whole audience, you know, to kind of call Jesus out for this terrible thing that he has done. And then he ends up being shamed himself, right, by Jesus simply asking two questions. I kind of made me remember, I'm starting to rewatch the series MASH. I don't know if you guys, I love that series, so I'm kind of binging on it on Hulu. And there is the one episode, maybe you remember good old Major Frank Burns. You gotta love the guy at times. Well, in this episode, he's been anonymously basically reporting on all of his colleagues trying to get them in trouble, but adamantly refuses to acknowledge that he's the informant, right? And so Colonel Potter is questioning him, and finally with this back, yeah, this back and forth, and finally, Burns is kind of backed into a corner to a point where Colonel Potter says to him, he says, "So why did you do it?" And Burns automatically replies, he says, "I thought it was my patriotic duty." To which Colonel Potter says, "Well, I thought you said you didn't do it." To which Burns' sheepishly final comment is, "I thought I did too." He's busted. He's shamed. He's caught out, just like the leaders in the synagogue were. See, in order to figure out what God had meant when he commanded his people to do no work, they had legislated it to death. They had legislated it to the point of absolute ridiculousness. How many steps can you take? How many words can you write down together before it is considered work? In fact, it said that somewhere around 613 other rules and regulations were created around the fourth commandment, all in an effort to carefully define work and to help people avoid even the hint of performing work on a Sabbath. I mean, how exhausting would that be? So instead of this day being the blessing that God desired it to be for his creation, it had become a burden. Or it had become a day where others tried to catch others out. However, even they realized, with all of their examples and all of their regulations, that there needed to be exceptions to the rule. And that's what Jesus even pointed out. Kind of like, even you know that there has to be exceptions. I mean, if your ox died of dehydration because you're untying it and leading to water was considered work, your livelihood could be compromised. And yet even today, I think for some reason, we tend to have more care and concern for our animals than we often do of other human beings in our midst. And I say that as an animal lover. You know, I mean, honestly, I can't watch a movie. If I know that there's a dog that's going to be injured or killed, I can't do it. I can't watch that movie. It's too much for me. And yet I have no problem watching some of these action-filled where people are slaughtered left and right. Why is that? I think perhaps it's because we feel somehow humans are supposed to be able to choose and take care of themselves while an animal appears dependent on others. See, I would say we often have the same view of the Sabbath. And it tends to fall into almost two different categories, and both kind of the extreme. Either on the one hand, we think, well, it doesn't really matter what I do. You know, if I go to church, or I go play sports, or I sleep in, or I watch football, or do whatever I want because it's my day, and I can do what I want. It's my day off. Or on the other hand, we go to the other extreme and start kind of being very legalistic and thinking, well, if this person isn't in church every week, if they aren't at church, then they're not really a good Christian. They're not doing something religious. And that's why Jesus rejects both of those. See, ultimately, the Sabbath is about God, not about us. There's a story told in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography of a clergyman who was ordered to read a proclamation that King Charles I had issued, where it was bidding the people to return to sports on Sundays. To his congregation's horror and amazement, he actually read this royal edict in church while other clergy had refused to do so. But he followed the edict with these words: "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And he added, "Brethren, I have laid before you the commandment of your king and the commandment of your God. I leave it to you to judge which of the two ought rather to be observed." See, as one commentator points out, Sabbath is about creation and about redemption, both of which reside in our Lord and Savior. On the creation side, it's the fact that after 6 days of creating, according to Genesis 1, the Lord rested on the seventh day. And he did that not because he was exhausted and in need of an afternoon nap. What God did on the seventh day was the same thing that Adam and Eve were to do on what constituted their first full day of existence: revel in and delight in this creation that God had given them. And on the redemption side, the Sabbath day is a reminder that God has liberated us from all that is evil and injurious to humanity. We take joy in remembering that God is redeeming the creation, salvaging all that evil has sullied, so as to return it to the glory God intended in the beginning. See, I think that's what Jesus is trying to point out when those self-righteous leaders are shamed and when the people are rejoicing. See, when you see that, we need to see that they're not just rejoicing merely at the redemption of this woman that has been suffering for 18 years. They're also rejoicing in the teachings of Jesus, which declares freedom from the bondage we all experience in this fallen world. The knowledge of the inbreaking of the kingdom, that God is in our midst. And so we're to take time each week to revel in the good creation God has provided, even as it still remains in a fallen state. We're to take time to revel in the redemption that is and will be ours through our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what Sabbath is all about. It's reminding ourselves, like we hear in the letter to the Hebrews, that we have come to Mount Zion and the freedom that gives, not to Mount Sinai, in which the law stifles. I imagine most of us now are sitting here going, yeah, that's great. So what exactly can I do or not do in order to really still be considered keeping Sabbath, right? That's what you want. You want the list of do's and don'ts. Because we're that way. We want to know what the minimum is we can to get by, right? But see, that's the wrong question. It's not about figuring out the minimum we need to do to technically say that we're still keeping the commandments, especially as it concerns the Sabbath. It's about challenging ourselves to see where God is at work and joining Him in that. So I challenge each of us to honestly evaluate ourselves, and believe me, I've been doing this the last couple of days of working on the sermon. Where in our week do we take just a day to stop focusing on ourselves? Where do we take some time, I mean, maybe not even a full day, to just stop focusing on our own rights and our privileges, on our schedule and what we feel like we need to be doing? Where do we stop focusing on our own comfort and concerns and instead take that day and focus solely on God, reveling in His creation and His redemption? I'm saying, if we can't answer that, I would say then we're not probably keeping Sabbath. See, may we not find ourselves shamed by our attitudes and actions, but instead find ourselves rejoicing in the creation and redemption Jesus provided for all, to know the joy that Sabbath should give us so that we can face what we have to in this fallen world. That is what Sabbath is about. Reconnecting ourselves with the gifts and the joy and the mercy and the grace that God has given us so that we can face what this world gives us as well. Amen.